My name's Tony Roach. I was dismissed from South Wales Police in 2015. All the allegations weren't gross misconduct. They were very, very minor. And to obviously me going to misconduct, I was denied loads of mitigation of evidence, which South Wales Police stated it didn't exist. But it's taken me 6 years and I finally got them, but this is where they've taken me out of the timelines then.
Okay, well, one of the most shocking things about your case, Tony, is that allegedly statements from known criminals were used by the police in order to incriminate you. Is there anything against the, is that against the rules? Because, I mean, you know, obviously even a criminal might maybe make a truthful statement.
Well, I've, like I said, I was subject and I've been threatened, and I've even been threatened recently today, which I've had to report that as well. These people were linking in with the Professional Standards Department. I've got statements where they've contacted Barry Kerslake, who is the detective sergeant, who was linking in with these people. And they were setting police stings up for me, trying to get me to do something unlawful. And on top of that, South Wales Police have provided me with disclosure, which fabricated, saying that I was involved in drugs, etc. And I can mitigate every single thing. But this went on. I thought it was a 6-month operation. It was an 18-month operation. And obviously, there was nothing at the end of it. But I was told then I'm going to gross misconduct, and like I said, I went to the gross misconduct. Assistant Chief Constable Richard Lewis, who was head of that department, and South Wales Police, they refused me to have an appeal against my floor dismissal because they know it's going to expose serious corruption on their part. Now, I've been fighting for justice since this has happened 6-7 years ago, and I still can't believe their actions today. I was involved in another police sting last week. I was finally invited to go down to a police station in Swansea with another person who was involved in these police stings. He had copies of his PACE interviews given many years later. They wouldn't give them straight away. I've got mine, and there's extracts missing from these PACE interview tapes. Now, anybody knows if they've been in trouble with the police, you'll have a working copy and a master copy, which you sign, and that's sealed up. So we finally get an email. Yeah, we can finally go down together. So a couple of days before, we get a letter, an email from the South Wales Police Professional Standards Chief Super, Danny Richards, who informs us both we will not be examining the master copy tapes. We can go down and just have a copy given to us, which to me is unacceptable. So anyway, we still went down together. There's a female inspector, Emma Jones. She's refused to deal with our lawful complaints, stating the Police Reform Act again, which is designed for police officers not to make a complaint. So to my shock and horror, once we were in Swansea Central foyer waiting, we just thought we were meeting somebody from the CPS and somebody from the tape library. The inspector, Emma Jones, from the South Wales Police PSD, introduces herself with another detective.
Okay, so PSD, that is the Professional Standards Department. So these are the people that look into complaints about the police itself and to make sure that police are actually upholding their own standards.
That's right. But I wish I could say the same with South Wales Police PSD, because their actions, again, was we felt we were ambushed. They both come out, and her tone was quite aggressive. And she introduced herself, and the other guy, he started filming us. He had the camera, and he started video filming us. Well, there's already a camera in the foyer. So I'm thinking, well, why are you filming us? You've invited us by the chief super, a member of the public, into a police station. And what legislation or rights, no consent was given for you to start filming. So she turned around and I, to my shock as well, I said, well, what's it got to do with the professional standards? Because they're the ones who investigated me. And she turned around, she said, oh, we're just here to adjudicate the process and check everything's right. And then she turned around, she said, then you won't be going in together. So I said, well, yeah, we will. I said, because I'm familiar with the tape process. The other guy I brought with me, he's not familiar. So he'll come with me. And again, because of what's happened, I don't trust him. And I felt unsafe. And, you know, for my own safety as well, because, you know, the way they've acted with me, they've been unlawful and all sorts of things. And I just couldn't go in there alone. So I stated that this person will accompany me. You know, that's my right. And in aggressive tone again, she said, no, you won't. He's not your legal advisor. So then I informed her. I said, well, he is my legal advisor now. I'm telling you. And I want him with me. She said, right, you're refusing, are you? So we both said, no, we wanted these tapes because we know they've been tampered with. So I said, well, we are going together. And she said, it's 2 minutes past 11. You've both refused. And both of them walked through the door. And I was just shocked and gobsmacked. I couldn't believe it. There was members of the public in the foyer. They seen her demeanor. And like I said, I've asked Salt Wales Police for their policies where you've invited members of the public into the foyer, into the police station, what right have you got to start filming? And even though there's a film in the foyer anyway, what was it? So to me, where she came out irate, I think she was hoping it was an ambush. And obviously, it was another sting for us not to examine these tapes. Now, one of the reasons I want to examine one of the tapes as well, I was also interviewed in March 2014, and this is shocking. I attended Tom Pentra Police Station. Barry Kerslake was, we met. We went in interview, and he introduced another guy who informed me his name was Mr. Greg Jones. He's a HMRC investigator. So we're thinking, what's he doing here? So anyway, as the interview took place, he was asking questions. This Mr. Jones, he started taking notes. And again, you know, we had a very, very small business, all legit. My wife's tax affairs, everything was all in order. And we couldn't understand why the police were dealing with the HMRC offence, if there was any, and why should they be in interview? So anyway, the interview finished, and then I had another interview in June 2014. This is where I was at one of my lowest ebb. I was really seriously ill, suffering mental health, anxiety, everything. I was heavily sedated on medication. I wasn't fit to be interviewed. And once I was in the interview, my head shot. And I can remember the officer, Claire Williams, saying, Tony, I can see you're not a well person. I want to stop the tapes. And I said, no, my head shot. I just want to get out of here. And she insisted. So she stopped that interview because of my mental health. And it's obviously people won't know, but a PACE interview, if somebody's ill and they're not fit for the interview, they should be examined then by a doctor to see if they are fit or, you know, if they can continue being interviewed. It was paused for a couple of minutes. And then obviously the interview just cracked on and I didn't even know what day it was in there. This is another thing which the Professional Standards Department have done. They breach PACE. I'm listened to the copies of my copy of my interview, and these certain comments weren't on that tape. So what I've done as well, with the help of ex-officers, I've requested the copy discs. Now, with the HMRC officer, we've asked for his notes he made in interview, which are disclosable, and they've got to be provided. I've even emailed Barry Kerslake and the Professional Standards, and I've informed the Chief Constable and the Commissioner, Alan Michael, and none of them would obviously get involved or you know, respond. I did have one respond. I think it may have been from the Professional Standards, and they said that I need to contact the HMRC. So I did contact the HMRC. I wanted to know the contact details of this Greg Jones. And like I said, this is another shock. We were interviewed in March 2014. So we made contact well after this, years later, to get copies of the interview. And I phoned the HMRC, several head offices, and they confirmed, they stated they do not have a Greg Jones working for them at that time. That was, what else was it? There was, I did trace one Greg Jones, and I got hold of his email, etc. But he stated he doesn't do investigations whatsoever. He was based up in Staffordshire and Manchester, and he just deals with the advertising. He doesn't do any HMRC investigation work whatsoever. To my horror, I was told that the HMRC first got involved in our case in August 2014. So you've got a guy, which it now appears, has impersonated a HMRC officer in a Pace Police interview with Barry Kerslake, and they're not prepared to tell us or give us his contact details, and they will not pass us the notes he made in this interview. Although I've got a copy and a picture, which I've sent to the South Wales Police and the HMRC, and they will not respond. And to me, that's perverting the course of justice again, tampering with evidence, and covering up another one of the police stings. So that's where we are at the moment. I've also been given this Emma Jones. Like I said, she's written to me and said that under the Police Reform Act, the Professional Standards will not record my complaint. As a serving police officer, I cannot make a complaint. So the Police Reform Act is designed for failure for any people to make complaints against police officers. But what they have not mentioned is I've got a document. It's called The Regime Which Applies to Complaints Against Police Officers Is Part 2 and Schedule 3 of the Police Reform Act 2002 PRA, the Police Complaints and Misconduct Regulations 2012 PCMR, now the PCMR 2020, and it states Paragraph 4.1 of Schedule 3 PRA provides that the Chief Constable of the relevant police force has a duty to defer a complaint to the IOPC if the complaint is of a specified description within the PCMR Regulation 4283. And this includes complaints of serious corruption as defined in the IOPC, that's the Independent Office Police Complaints, statutory guidance on the handling of complaints. At paragraph 8.13, serious corruption in brackets, was defined as conduct including any attempt to pervert the course of justice or other conduct likely seriously to harm the administration of justice, in particular the criminal justice system. So why haven't the Chief Constable referred these officers to the Independent Office of Police Complaints? Why haven't the police commissioner also done the same? And the police commissioner, Alan Michael, he's got a duty, if there's any corruption within his force, his duty is to pass that and refer it to the Independent Office of Police Complaints. So these two in itself have breached their statutory requirements. And the reason they won't do it is because they know that the South West Police PSD, Professional Standards Department, have committed so much serious offences and continue this day that it's not going to give the public any confidence in them. Now, this is what I've stated before. I've given 18 years, honest service, excellent service, and it stomachs me that obviously the South West Police PSD, act in this unlawful criminal behaviour, and nobody's there to police the PSD. So basically, they've done unlawful stings and everything else. They've used, it seems, a HMRC officer in interview purporting to be a HMRC, which I presume he's probably an undercover officer or something. Why? Which they've got a duty to provide these details and contact details. Now, if that was somebody else, I'm sure if a member of the public, they didn't do something, I'm sure South West Police would be serving papers on those people. And, you know, like I said, Tony, there's a lot more to this, and it is all going to come out. I've contacted our Senate Assembly. I'm still waiting for somebody down there to meet me. They've requested straight away what it's about, and I still haven't heard anything to date. I've contacted my MP, Mr. Alan Carnes, and he will not see me. He makes all the excuses that you've missed one of my surgeries last week. I'll tell you when there's another one. I'm not in the office. I'm up in London. I've had all these things because they know this is a massive corruption, which I can evidence within South West Police. And all these MPs and Priti Patel, they state honest integrity and everything else. Well, I would like a meeting with Priti Patel, and I would like to show her exactly the actions, criminal actions, that the South West Police have been committing. And this is just my case. Who's to say they've done it to other officers, members of the public? And I think the members of the public should know exactly what type of police force we've got, and there should be a full public inquiry. And I know, if I seen Priti Patel and I showed her this evidence, I know she would have to do something about it. But Catherine Evans, as well, head of the IOPC, every time I tell her the evidence I've got, I've asked for numerous meetings, she will not meet me, she won't respond, and I get her staff stating, under the Police Reform Act and the policy, whatever, I've got to give all new evidence, all my evidence, to South West Police, PSD, and that's the protocol, and they must investigate themselves.
Well, this is a bit of a problem, Tony, isn't it? Because you're really saying it. What they're telling you is, we want you to hand the evidence of wrongdoing over to the people who are doing the wrongdoing, exactly, so that they can prepare their next move. Anyway, look, for listeners that want to follow this, what's the best way to do so? That your case particularly.
Well, I'm hoping to put this on YouTube to get it out there. Priti Patel, I want people to sign, because I'm going to get the petition going, and I want her, and I'm prepared to go on TV or whatever and show him this thing. I think Alan Michael, the police commissioner, he should stand down. They've spent well over £1 million on this operation unlawfully on myself. And I'm sure that if people knew that 1 million or 1.5, 2 million possibly should be spent on frontline policing. And this is what's happening. The public, the police, South Wales Police will spend the taxpayers' money on police officers, but they will not do it. And people want to see police officers out there. And Alan Michael said one of his pledges, I will spend your money wisely. Well, that's wisely. And when I asked him a figure, he said how much they've spent on it. And he had turned on, he said, I don't hold that information. Speak to the chief constable. Now, he's responsible for all the budget, the finances. And I've asked Jeremy Vaughan as well. And they will not ask. They will say, contact the data protection. And that's the end of it. And it's just pass it down the line and ta-ra. I'm still trying to get an appeal against my dismissal. And the South West Police, they are hanging in there. And as further this goes on and on and on, you'll be amazed the amount of corruption, that's been involved in my case. Unlawful police stings, traps, they've been in my house. And the other thing, which I've got disclosure, Barry Kerslake has been in my home and he's gone back to South West Police, senior officers, when this operation was going on, and said, Mr. Roach is living beyond his means. He's built a two-bedroom extension onto his home. And this was another fabricated lie so they could keep surveillance going. And
so hang on, are you saying that there is no extension on your home?
There's never been an extension on our home since we've been here. We moved here in 2006 and we've never had an extension.
But Tony, how are you coping? Have you managed to find another job? How are you coping financially now you've been sacked?
I'm struggling, Tony. I'm not working. I'm heavily medicated. And I just want justice. And, I look at the Cardiff 3, the Cluddock murders. And, it's one after another with South Wales Police. And why aren't the IOPC or the Home Office conducting a full public inquiry into South Wales Police? They're the most corrupt police force outside of the metropolitan. They've got the most miscarriages of justices. And it seems like the government, Priti Patel, Catherine Evans, they just turn a blind eye or give it that South Wales Police problem and they accept it. But it's they've got to be investigated. And like I said, Alan Michael even put ACC Lewis, put him forward for the Queen's Medal for his service within South Wales Police. And yet I've got evidence where this man has perverted the course of justice. So it's stomach wrenching. And like I said, it's got to be, somebody has got to be investigated and take hold of this, because if they're doing this to their own, and, what are they doing to the public? It's not fair, because obviously I know certain laws and legislation. If they're fobbing members of the public off, I think they will just accept exactly what South Wales Police are coming up with, their excuses. But obviously I know a lot about law, and I know that they further breached and committed serious corruption. And the IOPC should accept a meeting with me, and I can show them exactly what I've got. But Catherine Evans is too afraid, because she knows that exactly what's going on, and I think she should stand down as well, because it's not fair on the public either.
Okay, Tony Roach, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much.